I'm John Horn. I'm the host of Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. I'm here with our very first guest, Rainn Wilson.
Hi, John. It looks like I'm the first guest on the Geffen Unclothed. Unscripted. Unscripted. Yeah, let's go with that.
A marriage made in heaven, I guess.
Or Westwood.
Tune in for some of our exciting upcoming guests. David Copperfield, Neil LaBute, Neil Patrick Harris, Josh Gad, Rita Wilson, and many more. Be sure to download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app and on iTunes. And don't forget to rate, review, and share.
And I'm Rainn Wilson, the first guest.
You are the very first guest.
This was a huge mistake.
Geffen Playhouse Unscripted.
Huge mistake.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend, man. Thanks for doing what you guys do. How are you doing, Drewski?
I'm good, sir. What's going on there? First time we've talked since our little building escapade.
Yeah, I went to Drew's house. He's doing a remod on the pool house. A couple things for Drewski.
Yeah.
Did it on Tuesday's show. The show is going to air tonight.
Tonight. Yeah.
So you see Drew tonight went over gangbusters.
Oh, it did?
Yes. Very funny stuff. So everyone enjoyed it quite a bit.
What did they like about it? That's the cue what I'm curious about.
They like...
They just like seeing us together again and you giving me shit or...
Yeah, what I've learned from comedy and what I'm trying to graft on to people, but usually to no avail, is if there's a scene, and Drew and I just had this sort of, everything was spontaneous, but we had this sort of spontaneous scene where he pulled off his toilet seat, and I put it over my head, and I was talking to him, sort of opening the flap and shutting the flap and sort of saying, hi, guy, you know, and the joke was...
Mick-a-hi-mick-a-hi-ni-ho.
Yeah, the joke was sort of, boy, you know, I could use this at home. So if the wife says, we need to talk about what, you know, your attitude, I'd shut the lid, you know, and then, ooh, pork chops, you know, and I'd open the lid up. And because I understand the rhythm and the cadence and like the language of comedy, so what they would send me a cut and it'd have like, one of the toilet seat bits, you know, in the middle.
Oh.
And then I would say, put it toward the beginning. Then we'll be in the hallway talking to Douglas or whoever, or whatever. And then we'll go back to the toilet seat again. Yeah. And it'll get funnier.
Yeah.
They'll start smiling when we go back.
Right.
I don't even remember saying. Then we'll go back. And then instead of just ending with the integration of me on the lawn tractor at the end with the craftsman, whatever, we'll do that. And we'll go back to the bathroom one more time with me in the way. And it would keep getting funnier.
Yeah.
And I've had to have this discussion, this very discussion about comedy with editors and comedy people and segment producers 1,000 times. And they never, you know, they'll go like, well, we have in the middle. And you go, yeah, no, we do it. Oh, we're coming back. No, we just cut back and we're back at the bathroom.
Yeah.
We were just in the hallway. We were in the bathroom before. You know, it's like
your brain can do that. You can do the math.
You just do the brain math. We'll just be right
back. We're harkening back to the comedy,
and it'll be familiar.
Yeah,
and they'll start laughing before I even say anything. Yeah. We'll just be back there again with the toilet seat around my neck. And these, by the way, you don't. This isn't me getting funnier. This is me getting experience-er and learning how things work. It's not like I'm funnier. It's just, oh, I've been around, and I understand how it works. And what you get to do is just listen to me because I'm the guy who's had so much experience with this, and so I'll—
It's almost like you need to develop a vocabulary, like a glossary. Like there's a term that applies to—
That's why doctors and lawyers do what they do in comedians. It's like, well, all right, let's agree to disagree.
Let's call it the callback or something.
Oh, it's
the ongoing callback or something. And then, oh, you're calling back. Oh, I get it. Okay, let's do the callback. How frequently? How often? What rhythm? Yeah.
One of the bigger laughs that took place in the movie I did called The Hammer was this door that just kept popping open on my truck. It got hit with the pickaxe early in Act One, and then it would just keep randomly flying open, and or people couldn't get it open, you know. And I went, one of the, you know, when you shoot a movie like that, it's like 19 shooting days, sleep deprivation, everything's a blur. But one of the one of our main arguments, me and Kevin Hinch, who wrote the movie, had with Charles, the director, was we were at the courthouse in Van Nuys and we're shooting five setups in one day when you do those things, sometimes seven. You just people think of budget in terms of like special effects. It's really in terms of time. Mm. See, when you have budget, you can rehearse. You have a couple weeks or months or whatever of rehearsal. Then not only do you have rehearsal, but you may only have to one setup, shoot one scene in a day. Well, when you're shooting five scenes in a day, you don't have budget. You got to keep moving. It's like, did we get it? Oh, hopefully. Moving on, you know. So to keep moving. And we were like going for lunch, and I said, we had this scene where I was going to pull away, and we just want to see as I'm pulling away and turning the corner, the door's going to pop open one more time. The bungee cord's going to go sailing out the window. And he's just like, we don't have time for this. But I remember him. I remember his thing was like, enough with the door already. Oh. We've seen the door. We've done the door. Like, we've done it. Yeah. We get it. You hit it with an axe. You can't get it open. We did it. You know, and I was like, we're trying to explain to him, no, it's going to get funnier as it goes. And he's like, but we already did the door gag. And it's like,
should that person be directing comedy?
No.
Yes.
No, they should not.
Thank you.
No, they should not. But we have many people who shouldn't be doing many things who are doing those things. And so, yeah, the bits are...
So I want to know if the Frenchman made it in, because that was funny as hell to me.
Little bits and pieces.
Me speaking French?
Yes, we had that.
You've known me 25... To me, the whole standout moment for me was, you've known me for 25 years, something like that, 20 years, and you went, oh my God, you speak French? I was dude, what the hell?
Where'd you
learn that? You're like, where'd you learn how to do that?
How dare you?
Was that for TV or did you mean that?
No, I knew you knew how to speak French.
Yeah.
I always knew that. But I thought it was a vestige of high school and college. And then I thought it would, you know, wear off without any real use over the years. And when you hooked up with your French tile installer,
LeBeau,
and you fluently jumped right back into a conversation with him, I was very impressed because it didn't feel like you're dusting off the cobwebs of your youth. It was you powed right into it. Plus, there's so many people who you remember. Oh, I remember. I forget almost everything. But one thing I remember very clearly, I think she was a young black actress who came on Loveline.
Robin something. Robin.
It wasn't a Quivers. Quivers. It wasn't a Robin. I don't think it was her. It was her. I don't remember. You spoke French fluently, as I knew. Catherine McCord spoke French, who was the co-host at the time, fluently, which I knew. And at the top of this person's bio, it says speaks French fluently. And that was at the top.
She's different than the one that went to, quote, medical school. Remember that one? That was the one I had a real problem with.
Yeah, it may have been Robin Givens or somebody like that. Yeah. And it's just at the top of the bio, it says speaks French fluently. And she it wasn't in a – she didn't fit the bill. So she came in and sat down, and we started the interview, and I said, I'm sitting in between two people who speak French fluently, so carry on. And she didn't speak a lick of French.
We both sort of gave her some real lightweight to the, how's it going? And she's like, no.
But just like
– no. and you went off on air. You went, your bio, it says you speak French fluently. She's like, well – yeah, kind of. Well, maybe one. I just let it go. I felt terrible for her. Like I didn't.
It's one more reason to hate publicists.
I think you said that. I think those words came out of your mouth that evening.
Yes,
on TV.
All right.
Hey, before you go off on those, let's talk about BarkBox. Let's just do that really quickly.
Yeah.
Yes, 4 to 6 natural treats delivered. Fun toys picked around a surprise theme every month. I saw Philly cheesesteak running out of here. He must have had BarkBox. He looked very happy. Tell him how big your dog is. Choose a plan. 1, 6, or 12 months. Then BarkBox ships on the 15th of every month. Your dog, I mean, not about you, but we go through toys. And so this is like a dream come through. And you can cancel anytime. There are free shippings in the continental U.S. If your dog doesn't like something in the box, they will send you something new for free.
Philly did a
move.
That's
it. Listen to that. If you didn't like it, they give you another one.
Well,
so
I got
– try them out.
Philly loves this stuff, and he did a move. Mm. We just went to the other warehouse. He came in there, and Rob – he loves Rob. Mm. Rob was standing there like, Rob – Rob's, Philly, Philly, and Philly, instead of running at Rob, made like a hard right and started heading down like this sort of corridor between some cars. And Rob's like, Philly always comes and runs like Fred and Dino, you know, like friends are running. And he turned a corner, he's like, where the hell's he going? Got his bone and come trucking back.
The toy.
He hit it. He hit it.
Yeah,
he hit his toy.
All edible treats made in the U.S. or Canada, free for a free extra month. So you get an extra month. Go to BarkBox, B-A-R-K Box, B-A-R-K, one word, BarkBox.com/Corolla, and that's C-R-O-L-L-A, as people who misspell that all the time. C-A-R-O-L-L-A, C-A-R-O-L-L-A.
French is fine with, but English,
BarkBox.com/Corolla when you subscribe.
BarkBox, baby. All right. So that's all good.
Did the LeBeau thing make it in the piece? That was my other favorite part.
No.
We got into a whole Hogan's Heroes conversation.
No.
Which was fucking hysterical, I thought.
Yeah, but it's like it's got to be 3 minutes and whatever it is. But it's so much better. Doing a show, it's like a crash course metaphor for life. Like you're sitting around going, what is this? I don't know what it is. I have no idea where we are and what we're doing. And then by show three or four, you know everything. You figure out where to go, how it works, how everyone is figuring out. Everyone from the talent to the camera people are figuring out how stuff. And it is so much easier to do. And it's this thing. I was thinking about this the other day. Drew, you listen?
Dig. By the way, has it changed time or anything? It's tonight at what time?
Oh, it's 9 to 11 o'clock.
11 Eastern?
Yes.
So 8 here?
No, 11.
It's just 11.
Okay.
11. It's always tough
11.
Sell through.
Okay, got it.
All right. 10 Central. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking to myself, the first show I did, I was nervous. I didn't know which way to face. I wasn't sure where we were going next. You know, one of my one of my biggest, if you were to sort of do me in a kind of strength to weakness category, like if you were to go on, what are you good at? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Mm-hmm. Top of the list be like balance. If there was a log rolling competition, I'd be in. If there was a sort of think on your feet thing, I'd be in. If there was a, you know, who can jump into this piece of machinery and figure it out the fastest and then turn the fastest lap first day, you know, I'd be in. My weakest thing is somebody holding a cue card and the cue card, like I'll have directions, be like segment one, phone calls, segment two, interview, segment three, back to the build, segment four, tweets, you know, and they're holding it up. And they're pointing at something, and my brain is just going, all I'm seeing is a piece of cardboard with a whole bunch of stuff on it.
Like hieroglyphics.
I'm not picking up.
Yeah.
If somebody points, I'll point. I'll go. I can drop back into my linebacker hook zone, and if the ball's going that way, I'm closing fast. And I'm in center field, and the ball's going over my head, I'm closing fast. But when I'm just looking at this laundry list of stuff, I literally don't see it. Like I don't, you know, I have stared at keyboards on typewriters and went, there is no Z on this keyboard. There's no Z. There is no Z. And then I'm going to go, let's wait around and look for a little while longer. Like I have, I keep looking. There's not there.
Well,
like,
but that's a complex issue of how we process visual material. And we have windows for developmentally being able to really nail that stuff down. And if we don't, our brain doesn't get access to it. There's a guy – I interviewed a guy on the show I do with Dr. Spaz, The Weekly Infusion, that regained his vision after like 40 years, you know. And and he couldn't differentiate a lot of things. He was with his wife in a Costco, and he's pointing at this big object. He goes, and this is a guy that can see normally, right? He goes, oh, watch out for the forklift. Walked out, and he goes, honey, that's just a lady that's a little overweight. But it's a forklift. Right? He couldn't
that's
process.
It's literally gut check time for her to be mistaken for a forklift. Like, sweetie, maybe you've had enough quiche samples for today. You are literally mistaken for a forklift. Now, yeah,
that's the point. Yours is a light version of that where you're not processing words and letters
with
great efficiency.
What I can do or have historically been able to not do is you hold up a map, like on a place map, an IHOP. You know, and you go, I'm here. I'm Montana. And I'll just be staring at squares with, like, names in it. And I'll go, where is it? And I'll go, right here, Montana. And I'll go, and at a certain point, I'll pretend to see it just because I can't find it.
Right.
Like,
and
so
you see how that's a visual processing thing that it's just gone. That developmental window closed, and you have to compensate for it in some way.
Yeah. Now, what I would tell the stage director is, you know, you pointing at the card halfway down the card with the laundry list of things to do that says go to the phones. Just point, and I'll start walking that direction.
That's why whoever was the superintendent of school in North Hollywood in 1968 or 72, or 75, whatever it was.
How dare you?
Whatever. Should be. I'm thinking of the earlier years.
Oh, okay.
Should be in jail.
Oh.
Should be jailed.
Drawn and quartered.
Yeah. I mean, they've given you an impairment of vision.
Yes.
Not of intellect, of vision, because they didn't properly train the processing when a window is available to do so. This guy that now can see normally still considers himself blind. He actually feels like he's overwhelmed by the information coming in and can't do anything with it. Is that interesting?
Yeah. So the beginning part of a show is tough. As you get into it very quickly. Now, one thing I do is I acclimate immediately to whatever it is. So by show,
whatever the task at hand is.
The show was the task at hand,
and by
show two and a half, I was in, and by four, I'm cruising. Mm-hmm. I know exactly where I'm going or what I'm doing. And
but to be fair, we've had a few reps in front of a camera, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the thing that I do is I liken it to just when I told you I went and did this car race, and I think I was telling you about the car race I did.
Yeah.
And I got in the car and I didn't know the shift pattern or it was a sequential shifter, and I didn't know where anything was or how anything worked or anything. And I was on the fastest track in the West, as they call it, Willow Springs. And I was nowhere for the first couple of laps. And then that was on a Friday. And by Sunday, I was driving with professional Trans Am drivers and right in the mix, just like a professional Trans Am driver had been on the circuit. I can get that tuned up that fast on stuff. Now, the thing that's different about me is I don't really get any better than I do. I can show up on Friday afternoon, look at an 850 horsepower Corvette that I've never seen or sat in or have no idea where the visual lines are, the mirrors, the buttons, the gauges, like anywhere to look, what to do on a track that I don't know well at all. And I don't like it, this track. It's too fast for me. I don't.
Holy pussy.
Well, there's one corner. It's not clearly defined, this track, for me. I don't like it. I've been off it a few times. Oof. Badly. So that's on a Friday. Sit in the car, not know how to start the car, what buttons to push to turn on the pumps or the coolers or whatever it is, and then physically not be comfortable in the car, like know how the net comes on and off and the harness and everything. And then mid-race by Sunday, the same afternoon, be driving the wheels off the car and is relaxed and comfortable and like a cagey veteran inside the car. Here's the thing. Anyone else would look at that and go, my God, what if you did three of these in a row? Think how fast you'd be by the time this is the first time you've been in this car, first time you've seen this car, first time you've been on the track in this car, this first time you've been in Trans Am. The reality is, I don't get any faster. I get that fast, and then that's it.
Yeah. So I think that probably flows into your mechanical procedural skills too. So you have sort of a procedural skill / memory system that is very effective, very efficient. And once it's clicking, it's just clicking. That's it. See, it's, you know what I mean? It gets up to speed and it's up to speed. And the same thing with rebuilding an engine or brakes or whatever, right? Then you and so some people need reps in order to get judgment, but it seems like you have pretty decent judgment pretty quick because you're procedurally comfortable.
I get super comfortable and super good, super fast, and then really don't progress.
Do you use stamps? Stamps.com? Wow. Let's talk about that for a little while.
No need to progress past
that's
that.
That's right. It's all done here. That's why you adopted it early and you use it to this day. Didn't need to go beyond that.
Mm-mm.
Right? Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail at your own computer with your own printer. And with a 4-week special trial offer, you get postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitment. You get all that. 4-week trial, postage, digital scale right now. They will send you that scale so you can automatically calculate the exact postage for your letter, for your package, whatever it might be. No more guesswork. Comes right up on your computer, print it out. That is it. Now, to get to stamps, you go to stamps.com. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage. You type in ADS, ADS for Adam and Drew Show, and you will get the 4-week trial. You get postage, which is free postage. I mean, that's ridiculous. And the digital scale. Plug it into your computer, any letter, any package, anything you can do at the post office, you can do at stamps.com. So never go to the post office again. Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in ADS, that is stamps.com, enter ADS, never go to the post office again. Why would you?
All right, I got a call, but Drew,
yeah,
let me tell you a perfect example of what I just described to you.
All right, do.
And this is how you know.
Let me tell you, because it's so frustrated when I hit things. And you
know, yes, learn. Yeah. It's a clinical trial. Mm. The very first time I did the Toyota Grand Prix, mm-hmm. you had to show up for 4 separate occasions, 4 full days of track training.
I remember that.
That's on the Willow Springs, but the small track, the one I raced on the Trans Am, was the big track. I showed up there, and I was like, what's going on here? I've never done this before. Mm. And I got in the car, and they had all these maneuvers where you'd go in the you'd reverse and grab, pushing the clutch, and pull the e-brake, and whip the car around, and blah, blah, blah. I was like Joey Chitwood. I was like a professional stunt driver. And when I was done with the first day, the instructors and whomever else went, well, you've done this before. I said, no, I haven't. And they said, well, come on now. You know what you're doing. And I said, I really haven't. I've driven a car that I've never been in a driving school. And they're like, well, you clearly seem to know something that everyone else doesn't know. And so they were like, well, who's going to win the race? Well, Adam's going to win the race. He's so much better than everybody. That was day one.
Mm.
Day two, people started getting better. Day three, they got better.
Oh.
Day four, they got better.
Uh-huh.
By the time we got to the track to qualify and had much practice on the track and much whatever, I qualified, you know, fifth or sixth, but I was not.
Hmm.
I don't remember what I qualified, you know, top five maybe, but I was not the odds on favorite by the time we got to the track. There were many, many other people, their skills kept going.
Hmm.
I was just the best guy day one.
It's interesting.
And kind of leveled out. Hmm. I think that's what balance does, by the way, for you. I think it makes you good at stuff fast.
I was thinking that has something to do with the processing of physical material, physical maneuvering.
Yes.
That balance is sort of part of that.
Right.
And that's all sort of cerebellar function. And that makes sense to me. The procedural stuff is in there too, because people have always implicated the cerebellum, particularly the vermis of the cerebellum, in certain kinds of memory.
Mm.
Interesting, right?
Not really, because I know what you're saying. Matt, 32, right. Texas.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Get it on.
Get it on, Matt.
Hey, so I have a question for you guys. I'm kind of bouncing around meaning to ask you for a while. But my wife, who's now divorcing me, is in the military. We've been married just shy of 10 years. And during that entire time, I've been pretty much just following around from base to base. And about 2.5 years ago, we had our first son. Everything kind of changed after that.
Hold on. I'm not really following the chronology here. Who's in the military?
Okay.
You are her.
She is. He's following her around.
You're following her around because that's where she's being moved.
Yes.
And hang on a second. And when did the marriage go bad?
It was pretty much about a year after, actually pretty much right after our son was born.
Okay. Because it sounded like you were saying it was bad before the marriage, before the son was born.
There was a period of, back in like 2010 where we were separated for about 6 months while she was on a deployment. But I just chalked that up to some PTSD and that sort of stuff. She got some counseling. We got back together. We were stronger than ever. But yeah, then once son came, things really changed. Her whole personality type changed dramatically, and things just kind of steadily got worse. And she pretty much filed for divorce back in January. I'm just kind of still waiting on getting paperwork and everything.
Sheesh.
But my question is that, so she's going to be moving to Kansas as part of the military. She decided to stay in and knock it out. She's staying in for another 10 years. And that's another 10 years of them moving around. I've been working pretty much every, you know, shitty job that you can get, every, you know, $8 an hour, $9 an hour job or part-time jobs, just because that's all you can get if you're not going to stay very long in a certain place. And if you haven't been there long enough to develop any skills or anything like that, that's pretty much what you're relegated to. So finally have my degree. I just graduated last month, and I've had about 4 years of experience in my field already. I've got a lot of opportunities places, but none that are in the Kansas area. As far as media arts, there's not a lot of demand there. My question is that I don't think I'm going to be able to get to that area and find any reasonable work
Hold on.
So
so she re-upped in the military for 10 years?
Well, she's planning on retiring. Once you hit 10 years, you pretty much have to make the decision, am I going to get out or am I just going to finish through and get my retirement and everything?
So, and what is her job, and does she have to move around so much?
Well, you're only, like our last station, we were there for 4 years. It's a controlled tour. They basically tell you, hey, you're here, you're going to be here for this amount of time. Our previous base, we were there for 4 years, for basically just that, 2 years. So you really never know how long you're going to be somewhere. She's an aircraft mechanic.
Is the question, should I tag along with them? Is that the question?
What are we going to do when we go to Kansas?
Yeah.
Matt, here's the deal.
The answer is you've made
this
thing.
You have a son,
yeah.
And you have to kind of commit to the son.
Right.
And so that's kind of where the priorities lay. You know, if you're good, you can do most anything wherever you are. So the thing about the son is what people realize is the way that kid feels about you is forever, and it's pretty much there's a window, and the window passes pretty quickly. And I don't know why people aren't into their own personal legacy with their kids. Because it's on their permanent record, you know. And those windows, you know, if you really look at that window, Drew, of when the kid sort of wakes up and comes to consciousness, you know, age 3 or 2.5, or mm-hmm. when they really start to really 4, when yeah. they start to recognize your name and yeah. you know who you are, language and stuff like that, to the time when they spend the lion's share of their time with their friends and at the pizza parlor and whatever
it's like
it is.
10, 12 years.
Yeah, I was going to say 7 to yeah. 9. You yeah. know, it's a pretty small window.
Like,
of,
we can't get it together for that. We can't hold it together for that kid's life.
And in terms of calories, it's like I took Phil and my son for a walk last night. And we just sort of talked about life, and I was explaining to him, you know, look at people's patterns. You know, it's not all about memorizing.
Give him the polar bear talk?
No, I gave him. I had a very interesting pattern related conversation with him, and which is most of the thing. The reason I'm right most of the time is because I focus on every individual. I focus on their patterns, and then I understand who they are and where we're going to be and what to expect from them, and whether they're going to be late or early, or they're going to pay the bill or not pay the bill. You know, I focus on patterns. And you should start reading people and focusing on patterns, which was comical because moments later he said, and I gave him a whole speech. It was like, look, you can read all the textbooks you want, or you can really just focus on people and read their patterns and you'll get all the answers you want. And it was like moments later, he said to Lynette, where are you going tonight? And she's going out doing a podcast talking about Mangria. And he said, when are you coming home? And she said, well, podcast ends at 9, so I'll be home at 9:30. And he went, I'll see you at 10:30. And I went, well, that you just did. You just did a pattern. You just did a pattern. And I said, by the way, as much as we want to think of this as a pejorative, like, oh, so he's being disrespectful or he's being rude or he's being whatever.
Being realistic.
He's focusing on a pattern.
Yeah.
He's focusing on a pattern. Look, I'm not saying she's having an affair or doing drugs. It's just she's working, whatever it is.
I find it comical that when you tell people something real about them, they get offended. That, to me, that's comical because, like, if your son had just gone, oh, Mom, that means 10:30. I know from experience. So, all right, see you at 10:30. How dare you?
Yeah, she didn't say how dare you.
But you know, people get that way.
Oh, no, they totally get that way. And it's my sort of, hey, write that down. You may forget. I don't need to write stuff down. It's like, I've been studying your patterns. Yes, you do need to write things down, or I wouldn't be saying that. I don't say that to Kevin Hench, as I frequently tell people. But
we haven't had the polar bear talk in a long time.
I had it the other day on my show. But what I'm saying is I said, Sonny, what you just did there is you took a pattern. Then we went on a walk, and I said, now look. If she comes back at 9:30 tonight, we're going to have to fold that into our pattern.
Yeah.
And maybe it goes against prior patterns.
Maybe you alerted her to her pattern and she wished to change that pattern. That's fine. You've helped her.
She showed up at 9. She came home at 9:45, which was very early for her, according to her pattern. Mm-hmm. And I told Sonny, now you're going to have to think about that the next time this comes up in the pattern department. I don't know why.
By the way, your wife wants to do my podcast. That's what we were talking about on the parking lot. Is that okay?
It's okay with me.
I know you don't like us talking.
No, I don't like.
And I have not spoken since you asked me not to.
No, it's Dr. Bruce that does the lion's share of the
damage. I just don't even like. I'm staying out unless I'm instructed. No, I'm not. I mean, I'll be friendly with her. I'm not going to. She's my friend, but I mean, I won't do any extended conversations unless you're comfortable with it.
Listen,
like a podcast.
I don't need Dr. Bruce explaining to her that everyone is scared of me because I have Asperger's syndrome and I'm an insane person who has insane. So what I do is I have these incredible expectations from everybody, and when they come one Smurf's ass hair away from my unachievable expectations, I fly off the handle and go nuts on everybody, and there's not a person who's in my purview who's not scared shitless of me. Everybody. And I always, all I can do is come back with.
We're also traumatized. We're just burned out. We can't even tell anymore. It's all right. So you come back with what? I'm kidding.
No. I always say, well, first off, stop listening to Dr. Bruce. And Dr. Bruce should shut up. Because honestly, he tells her things, gets her panties in a bunch, and he's a doctor. Now, I look at him as a spaz, but I think she looks at him as a doctor and tends to believe what he says.
He's knowledgeable. He and I have been spending more time together, but he may be speaking out of school a little bit. I'll catch you that. Let's go take some calls. Relax. It's all good. I'll take care of spaz for a while.
Please. You talk to her. I don't trust spaz talking to her.
All right.
All right. Let me do some business here.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Life Lock, everybody. Chances are you've had the same password for multiple accounts. It's a bad habit, man. Increases chances of hacks, identity theft. Install a password manager and get Life Lock. Identity theft is America's fastest growing crime. I have Life Lock. If you've got a problem, a U.S.-based team will fix it. They don't outsource. They're U.S.-based. They take care of it. Right here in the U.S. of A. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock is the best protection available. And memberships start at just $9.99 a month. So you do what I do. You shop online. You buy everything online. You got your identity out there. Yeah, it's convenient. You can do all the shopping from your own home in your home office. But you need LifeLock. And again, membership starting at $9.99 a month. LifeLock, Drew.
Go to LifeLock.com or call them at 800-LIFELOCK, LIFELOCK. Use the promo code ADAM And that is Adam, ADAM, for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. 1-800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK.
All right. Me and Dennis Prager, top of the charts, number one on iTunes in the comedy department. No Safe Spaces. That's nice. Us at Northridge, currently number four on Billboard. So go check that out. It's on iTunes, adamcarolla.com. Lynette doing a bang-up job over at Corolla Drinks. So go there. Get $5 off any bottle. Use the code FOOLS. And Spike Show, that is tonight. Go check that out as well. Go to adamcarolla.com if you want to know anything. Trace Atkins on tonight. He actually knows how to work with tools. So we got that to look forward to. Drewski, what do we got for you, Ski?
Go to doctor.com. Check out me and Spaz, a weekly infusion. People stop my wife in a hardware store to tell her how much they like that podcast.
Everyone loves.
Yeah. Yeah. So me and Bob Forrest also. You haven't heard it.
Dr. Spaz.
It's, you listen to it?
You'd love this, Ace. There's a long diatribe that Susan posted to all of her social media about that interaction.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a line in there where she goes, "The guy told me he doesn't like Adam Carolla, but he does." And like, I just thought that was a perfect throwaway in there for you.
Well, no, but didn't she defend Adam in that same post? A little bit.
I don't.
A little bit.
No. You could have just admitted that. I thought.
Me?
No, she didn't. Oh, she. I don't think the guy's opinions on Adam had anything to do with how much he liked your podcast.
Oh, no. You know what he said was? Because she told me what he said. She doesn't like how Adam treats Spaz. Yet this guy called him Dr. Spaz. So
it's going. You will understand whether it's Spaz or Ray Oldhoff or any of these guys, when they bring it on, they bring it on. They bring it on themselves. You know,
we can't help it.
Spaz will just do that thing where I'll go, I know you're not. I know I'm not supposed to talk about this, but he loves. You know what his like his favorite move is? Like little weird.
He doesn't
subtle.
Do that with me. Scared of you. He's the one scared of you.
Little subtle things like if I'm doing a commercial, he'll go, "I'll let you finish reading that," instead of just doing the spot or even just shutting up
or letting him.
Yeah, he has to point out that I'm reading something. Like he loves that kind of stuff.
He had sort of a traumatizing childhood, I think.
Now he's traumatizing me.
No, I think you're duplicitous in him reenacting.
Yes, that's exactly true. Exactly true. All right, so until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, saying mahalo.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.